John, I'd love to hear that story of when you were there on that very special Jackie Robinson day when you were with ESPN.
1997, April the 15th, the 50th anniversary of Jackie Robinson's breaking the so-called color line, the first African-American to play in Major League Baseball, to be allowed to play, as the black players were excluded and they were blacklisted by the baseball owners. But, of course, it was Branch Rickey, who then ran the Brooklyn Dodgers, who signed Jackie Robinson, and he made his debut at Ebbets Field that day, a fateful day, not just for baseball, but for the country and for the civil rights movement. And I know Martin Luther King always pointed to Jackie Robinson as being the guy who really kind of started it all. So in terms of the civil rights movement and equal rights under the law. So Jackie Robinson was the only one. And many of his teammates, of course, were not happy about it. They didn't want him there. So it was made clear to them, and some of them were traded and whatnot, that he was staying, and maybe some of them would be gone. But Jackie Robinson also went out against really heavy odds stacked against him and did extremely well, as we all know, and not just a great player, but he had a great year, and the door was opened, and the black players started filtering into Major League Baseball. But 50 years later from that fateful day, the Dodgers played the Mets at Shea Stadium, and that was the first real Jackie Robinson day, and it was in that ballpark, and ESPN televised the game nationally. Me and Joe Morgan were there for it, and it was quite a night. The president, Bill Clinton, at that time, he was there, and the game was stopped right in the middle in the fifth inning, and ceremonies were held honoring Jackie Robinson, and that was the day that Bud Selig, the commissioner of baseball, made the announcement, and I think he surprised a lot of people, and it was kind of a stunning announcement, and it was the perfect announcement for that day, which was that Jackie Robinson's number 42 would be, from that day forward, retired in perpetuity by Major League Baseball, and that number in the Dodger colors would be put on display with all the other retired numbers in every ballpark around Major League Baseball. But Rachel Robinson, his lovely wife, was there, and she went on the air with us. And we had a lot of Jackie Robinson film and videos and whatnot. And one of the things that I always remember was we played the film of him stealing home in the World Series. And you remember Yogi Berra tagged him, and then the call was safe, and Yogi jumped up and started screaming at the umpire, going nose-to-nose with him. And so we looked at it with slow motion and frame by frame and whatnot, and we decided, you know, he really could have been safe on that and under the tag. And Rachel Robinson, when we told her what we'd seen, she said, oh, Jackie would have loved that. So a few weeks later, I was at Yankee Stadium, and Yogi, like a lot of the old great Yankees, was at the ballpark that night, and I told him what we'd seen. I said, you know, when we put it in freeze frame and slow motion a few times, we thought he could have been safe. And Yogi goes, oh, that's baloney. And it was kind of cool because he reenacted the scene with that umpire. And he went right into our faces with it. So it was kind of funny because Yogi was as mild-mannered a guy as you'll ever run into. But anyway, Jackie Robinson. And, you know, it's a heroic story. And at the same time, it's a tragic story because he died in his early 50s. And his wife, Rachel Robinson, believes that all of the abuse that he had to take that first year, and he had the agreement with Branch Rickey that he would not fight back, he would not lash back. And he said, because that is what they want. And you have to have the bigger picture. So that was against his way of looking at things. If you were abused, you fought back. But he just internalized all of it for that whole season. And she believed that really took a toll on him and led to his early demise at the age of 51, 52, when he was still, you know, most people are just in their primes at that time. So so a tragic aspect to it as well.
Boy, John, beautiful. Beautiful story on this Easter Sunday. Thank you so much. I hope the weather holds up, and I'll be up to see you shortly. Thank you, John.
Okay, Marty. Look forward to it.
Very nice. Beautiful. All right, more coming up. Our pregame Diamond Notes next right here on the Sports Leader.